Good to see all of you this morning. We've had a bit of an interruption in our regular services over the last week, and we'll get into to that and give you an update on that as we get into the lesson a little bit this morning. But it's so good to see all of you. We were away in Florida for fall break with the boys this week, and had a good time. I know a lot of you had the same. We were able to be away this past week or 2 weeks ago. This is October, and so a lot of fall breaks going on with schools, and so we are thankful for those times that we can be with family, get away from work or school, and enjoy the world that God has made. We are blessed in this life, and I know that's one of the reasons you're here today, because of your blessings and your desire to praise the Lord, to learn more about His Word, and to be with Christians. And so we're very thankful for everyone who is here. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Lord, we're thankful that you have blessed us in this life. You've given us every good and perfect gift. Most importantly, you've given us your Son to die for us. Without him, we would be dead in our sins. We would have no hope of salvation. We would have no way to solve our sin problem. But Jesus, your Son, came here and took the punishment that we deserve for our sins. He took that pain and that suffering that we deserved. So now we can stand before you clean and have a right relationship with you again and be able to know the joys of heaven, a place that we don't deserve. We pray this morning that you be with Dad as he continues to be treated for the coronavirus. We pray that he continues each day to do better. Be with Tim Dockin as he begins his radiation and chemotherapy. That is effective, and that Carrie and his whole family can be at peace with his situation. Be with Sheila Crouch as she will be tested this week and for a potential tumor and some things related to her health, and we pray that that goes well. Be with Faye Waller is still continuing to struggle. We pray that things in her life with her health can improve. Be with Christine Garrett, who's still suffering cancer. We know others personally, friends of our friends, and others who have been affected either by the virus or cancer or any of the things going around at this time. We pray that you bless everyone who's hurting. We know that we cannot see past today, and so we have to put our faith and our trust in you. And at times that's difficult. At times where our faith is shaken. But we know through your word that you've told us to live by faith and not by sight. Continue to bless us here at Pleasant View. Help us to make wise decisions. Help us to live peaceably with one another and walk humbly with you so that the church may grow and we can be a shining light to those who are lost. Bless our study this morning. Open our hearts and minds to your word so that we can be more like Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want us to talk this morning about action versus reaction. Life is about reaction. We can just start by simply stating that fact, and we know that to be true because if all of life was about action, that means that we can control life. We can say all of life is just simply what I want to do, the way I plan it, the way I want it to be, and we wouldn't have to react to anything else. My will could be done all the time. You could wake up in the morning and say, my will be done today. Everything, when I go out to the car, it's going to start. As soon as I put the key in or punch the button or whatever your car does, it's going to start. That's what I want to happen. And I'm going to go to work, and the person that sits beside me at work is going to be friendly. We're going to get along. My boss is going to come in, pat me on the back, tell me I'm doing a good job. I get home, the kids are going to be behaved. Dinner's going to taste just right. My favorite show is going to be on television. I'm not going to get sick. The children aren't going to get sick because that's the way I want it to be. And if life were that way, life would just be all about action. But since all of you have lived more than 5 minutes, you know that life is not that way. Our will is usually done, most of the time done. Sometimes 5% of it is done. Sometimes 95% of it is done. But every day has something in it that we do not plan. We don't act on. We don't act as in we don't plan it that way. Most of life is about reaction. Most of life is what happens when the car doesn't start. How do we react to that? How do you react when that person beside you at work is not as nice as you'd like them to be? The boss doesn't give you the raise. The boss comes in and says, hey, because the virus is going around, nobody's coming through the front door of our business, or because the government said we can't open our doors, I can't pay you anymore, you have to go home. That's what life is like. Life is about reacting to things. So how well do you respond to the unplanned? How do you act when the plan doesn't happen? Saw a handwritten note one time online. It was a picture taken of a note that General Eisenhower had written to President Roosevelt right before D-Day. And he quickly, 3-4 sentences, summarized the invasion. Of course, the generals, the president, everybody knew what was, the invasion was going to happen in France. And he mentioned here, you know, we're going to land here and do this. And by the way, he said, and got to the end of it, in his own handwriting, and said, if this doesn't work, this is a big decision we're making that could change this war one way or the other. And he said, if this doesn't work, all the blame is on me. Let me just go ahead and say, before we start trying to decide who's right and who's wrong and point fingers and doing all that, after this is over, let me just go ahead and say, just blame me if this doesn't work. So in that big moment, Dwight Eisenhower was saying, this is how I'm going to respond to the unplanned. I'm going to take the heat. I'm going to be ready to take the heat. How well do you respond to the unplanned? You know, a school sets a schedule before the year starts, and this is when we're going to have the Christmas break and the fall break and Labor Day and all these things, and you react to that. You know, Maddie's at Freed Hardeman, and they're going to finish the semester at Thanksgiving. Well, to do that, they had to take away fall break and Labor Day and just had to plow straight through to Christmas, to Thanksgiving to do that. So we had to react in our family plans. We had to react to the school schedule and when the boys would be off and all those things. All of you have done the same thing. And that same school this summer, and every private school was having to cross their fingers and worry about how many kids aren't going to be here in the fall over here in the spring when they decide to go somewhere else to school. And if we lose 10 kids, that could be over $100,000 that we're not going to have this year. The school is reacting to the parents. The parents are reacting to the school. A lot of people, as I mentioned earlier, became unemployed this year. 40 million people lost their jobs, either for a short time or still don't have a job. Their job still hasn't come back. How do you react to the unplanned? We know, obviously, many probably didn't have any sort of savings or enough savings to have them be self-sufficient during that time. Many have those discussions about money and saying, are you going to be ready financially for the unplanned? When those kind of things happen, when the big thing in your house breaks, are you going to be ready for that? None of us are ready for illness because we don't know what we're going to get. We assume we're going to get the colds and the flus and the things that go around every year, but where is it? We can't see it. We don't have a sign that says this person is sick, stay away from them. You can't see the virus, you can't see the bacteria, the germ, where it is, how it can get into your body and affect. And then when it gets to your body, it affects people different ways. And so it's so unpredictable. How do you react when you get the illness? We can make a list of 100 things that happen in life. Life is about reaction. Because our will is rarely done. It's hard to plan everything down to the very last minute and then make it happen. We do a pretty good job of it, but it doesn't always work out. C.S. Lewis says, "Surely what a man does when he is taken off guard is the best evidence for what sort of man he is." We're supplying to women as well. You do know a lot about someone's character. You know a lot for what we're discussing today. You know a lot about someone's faith when they're caught off guard. When the unplanned comes along, when the schedule doesn't work out right, when things fall apart, you learn a lot about the person. Isaac Newton's third law, that you may have studied in school. Of course, this has to do with science. He said, that law says for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. When you get sick, the reaction is, I'm going to do things to get better. I'm going to act in the opposite way. When the wind blows, the trees react. He says, everything in science, when this goes this way, something's going the other way. It's reaction in science, and there's a reaction in our own lives, in our own character, how we go about our daily living. We live in a constant state of reaction. It's easy to be content when your will is done. It's easy to have strong faith when the plan happens. What about the unplanned? Have you noticed how many reactions there are in Scripture? How many people were presented with something and the reaction they had to it affected their own lives and a lot of times the lives of their children and generations and how they reacted? Adam and Eve were presented with a statement from the serpent. They were tempted. We are all tempted every day. They were tempted. Eve first, or the woman as she was called in the garden. And what was her reaction to that? Was her reaction, no, I'm staying with God. God made this. God said, don't eat of that tree. That was one path to take. But her reaction was, yeah, maybe the serpent is right. Maybe God is doing this because he has an ego. He just wants to stay above us. If we eat that, we're going to be like him, and he don't want anybody to be like him. So yeah, let me try that. Let me indulge. Let me say yes to Satan. And all that did was bring harm to their lives. The wrong reaction. Cain, of course, and his brother were giving sacrifices to the Lord. It says there in Genesis that Abel's sacrifice, his offering, was of the fat portions. Many have looked at that and said it was of the first, it was the best. And by contrast, it seems in Scripture that Cain's was not that way. And it simply says that God approved of Abel's sacrifice and did not approve of Cain's. Cain's reaction was one of jealousy, was one of anger. And God even said to Cain, he said, sin is crouching at your door. Cain, you are stirred up, emotional, jealous. And God is saying, you are on the doorstep sin. It is right outside the door, and I mean, you are that close, you better watch it. He can't kill his brother. Bad reaction to what God was saying. Bad reaction to what God wanted in his offering. Moses was standing there at the burning bush. The bush was just burned and burned and wouldn't be consumed. And here's the voice of God. He says, hey, you need to go down to Egypt to Pharaoh and free my people. And he says, yep, there's a few things about me, God, that you don't know. There's a silly. If you ever thought about it that way, Moses then informs God of his deficiencies. I'm not much of a speaker. I'm not good at speaking, and I don't have the message either. And God says, I'm going to send Aaron, and I'm going to tell you what to say. You got any other excuses? Anything else that you're going to inform me about that I don't know about you? Oh, and I know you murdered that Egyptian, by the way. He didn't mention it then, but God, of course, would have known that. Moses' reaction to hearing the voice of God was excuses. Thankfully, that was the Apostle Paul's reaction to hearing the voice of the Lord when he said, called God Lord, called Jesus Lord, rather, and he heard the voice of Jesus and was obedient to that voice. Moses, of course, became obedient to the voice and went down and did as God wanted him to. But the first reaction was a couple of excuses. Jonah was told to go preach to Nineveh. God knew that Jonah was quite a preacher because we know the end of the story, that he was able to convert the city. But Jonah didn't realize that. All he knows about Nineveh is they're bad people, and that's a scary place. And I don't want to go to that. You know what they do to people who preach things that people don't want to hear? They kill them. And so he runs away, and you know the rest of the story with Jonah. Jonah found real fear. He was running because of fear. What do you think life was like inside of that fish? Jonah chapter 2, we have the whole thought process of Jonah while he was in the fish. Change of heart. Yeah, I think I might need to do things differently. Because what I thought was going to be scary, I found something else scarier than that. And maybe I need to do what God says. His reaction to God's command was fear. And of course, Jesus, our example in all things. What was his reaction to a Pharisee? What was his reaction to a woman pulling on the hem of his garment? What was the reaction to Zacchaeus in the sycamore tree? What was his reaction to Pilate? What was his reaction to Thomas and Peter and Judas? And the list goes on and on and on. How did he react to 5,000 people who were hungry? How did he react to the blind man? The man at the pool of Bethesda? We keep going on and on. How did he react? Of course, said different things in all those different situations, but every time his reaction was the truth. Confronted with this person, the woman at the well, he teaches her truth. Every time acting in a truthful manner. Most importantly, when he was confronted with Satan after his baptism in the wilderness. How did he react? Was that a fun time for Jesus? Could he have done something a little more fun, a little easier, of course? But he simply quoted the Bible back to Satan. acting very differently than Adam and Eve and saying, no, I'm not going to do what you want. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then it says that Satan left him. That's when Satan went away. We could go on and on looking at examples all throughout the Bible of people who reacted, some good, some bad. But that made all the difference. It showed us the kind of people they were, like we see. C.S. Lewis said in the beginning, how well are you reacting to some things going on in the world today? Let's narrow this down to some real life, some things we are dealing with on a daily basis. COVID-19, the coronavirus, whatever you want to call it. And it started in the country about February when more cases were coming along, and then by March it was getting worse, and we didn't meet for about 6 weeks in this congregation. Sometimes I'm sure this congregation had never done. Why? We didn't know a lot about it. It was spreading very fast. We didn't know at the time, there wasn't a lot of data. There wasn't a lot of time to look at results of the infection and what was going on and medication that could be used and so on and so forth. We took caution. We did what we thought was best, and we trust the Lord to, and His grace in that regard, so hopefully that was the right thing to do. And then we came back, we began meeting again. And we talked about caution again. I said here many times about those of you who are over 65, over 70, have to be particularly careful. That now that we're down the road a little bit on this, that it seems to have a great effect on those in that age category. If you take medicine every day, if you have a pre-existing conditions, a condition you live with all the time, the coronavirus can be very hard on you. So we kept talking about caution. And the Bible teaches us to be cautious, teaches us to react in good ways to things that are scary and might hurt us. Talked to Dad a lot about that. I don't know where Dad got the coronavirus. Nobody knows where they got it. Nobody can pinpoint that. You just know who has it. If they've had a test, and they test positive. Dad was here for just a few minutes on October 4th. Coughed a few times, and I intercepted him in the parking lot when he went to get a cough drop. I said, you got to go home. I said, you don't need to go back inside. I need to go get tested. And it's a Sunday, so not a lot of places to go that were open. Most of the places that do testing are Monday through Friday. And so he went, I said, just go to Walgreens, they'll tell you what to do. He went to Walgreens, called his family doctor as well. They both said, you don't need to get tested. You don't have any symptoms. Okay, so he went home. And the next day, he said his smelling wasn't very good. We didn't know if that was true or not, not because thought Dad was lying, but because you start thinking about it, you all of a sudden think you have symptoms you may not have. And he called his family doctor, and he said, okay, now go get tested. And he got tested on Tuesday, and then last Wednesday, or two Wednesdays ago, I should say, got tested and found out that he was positive. Then this past Wednesday morning, Tuesday night rather, he was coughing quite a bit. We were in Florida. Mark and Stephen were here at school, teaching, and drove himself to the hospital and said, I am positive, and I've been coughing last night, and so he's been there since Wednesday morning. Doing a little better every day. Just this morning, he called Vera and left a message just right after we got here to church saying that the doctor was very positive about his improvement. He's been on oxygen. He has a little bit of pneumonia in both lungs. But the oxygen is the removable oxygen that you can put in your, not a ventilator. He's not on a ventilator. Be clear about that. But we've talked to him every day. We can't go see him, of course. Nobody can go see him. And we can send him things. We can take things to the hospital. They take it up to him. But he's been talking. Some days he's been a little bit out of breath. Other days, normal. Last night I talked to him for quite a while. Didn't seem out of breath at all. But they need to get him to a point where he can leave without any help, without any oxygen, of course. So that's where he is. Getting a little better every day. I don't know that he'll come home Tuesday. I don't know when he'll come home. But when he's home and healthy, he'll be back with us. He won't have COVID. He won't be contagious. He'll be over it. And he'll have antibodies, just like anyone who's gotten over it in his system, that will prevent him for, they say, a couple of months at least from getting it again. So the next time you see him, you don't have to run away. If you see him, he will be clear. He will not be sick. He will be contagious. I give you the same advice I gave him. If you are coughing, if you have respiratory issue, particularly if you are of a certain age, stay at home. Don't risk it. Don't try to be around anybody. And if you feel like those symptoms are consistent with coronavirus, get tested. It's free. You'll know in probably 24 hours if you're positive or negative. While we were in Florida, the Nashville Health Department person called me and said, "We feel like you were in close contact with somebody who was positive." And I said, "Well, what's your definition of that?" And it's the same definition they give everybody. 10 or 15 minutes minimum within 6 feet. I said, "That's not me." So the time I was with him on that one day, it was not for that long, and we weren't that close. Nobody here was, by the way. He wasn't there long enough. Wasn't in this room long enough. My brothers were. They were around him the day he went and got tested. Stephen had to took him to get the test. Mark and Stephen got a coronavirus test. Both came back negative. So even if you're within that range, doesn't mean you automatically get it. It just means your likelihood goes way up. So the last time I was around Dad was October 4th. I've been near him since. And so he isolated and is where he needs to be, getting treated for that. I'm very thankful that viruses don't linger forever in a person or in the air or on a surface. Thankful that, like anything else, they go away. The patient is clear when they recover, and they're not contagious anymore. Viruses come and go in that regard. We did meet for two straight services, and that's what we discussed as kind of being our policy regarding that. We have somebody in the building that's been positive. You may have talked to them within 6 feet for a while. And if we don't meet for two services, if you're nervous about that, you want to isolate, you won't miss a service. That way everyone can get tested if they want to get tested. You can stay home and make sure that you're not affected by that person. But this is the first time we've dealt with somebody who's been in the building and been positive. So that kind of takes care of that situation. We'll try and do our best to get around everybody and tell them that we won't be meeting for the next two, because that will roughly cover about 10 days is what they say we should do concerning isolation. We don't get the word to everybody. We apologize for that. We miss a few in getting the word out about not meeting, because we're still concerned and talking about caution. We need to have caution. We don't need to be overly cautious, because when you go in the direction of too much caution, what happens? Paralyzed. You go in the direction of too much caution, whether it's this or anything else in life, eventually you become one of the 10 spies. Who says it's better for us to sit here and do nothing. But that shouldn't be the case with us, because you never need to sacrifice your faith on the altar of fear. In any stage of life, confronted with anything, you put on the full armor of God spiritually. The Bible doesn't say there's all this evil out there, there's all these terrible things, spiritually, physically, or anything else. So just keep to yourself, don't move, and be scared. You put on the full armor of God, so you go out there and you fight. Of course, we're cautious about a virus. We don't want anybody to get sick. I didn't want Dad to get sick. But he did, and we made adjustments regarding that. But we need to be known as people who always live by faith in any situation, because there's race problems also going on in this country. We've seen that. One of the things that people don't want to be called among anything else is a racist, of course. I think people get most defensive when somebody else suggests that they might be racist. We're very quick to say we're not. And we're also quick to make sure that some group or some person doesn't think we are. We think we have to convince that person or that person or that person that we're not racist. If I can convince that group and that person, then that means I'm not racist. The person that decides whether or not you're a racist is the Lord. And you can lie to everybody else, and you can put on the front, and you can say all the right things, but man looks at the outward appearance, and the Lord looks at the heart. You can fool everybody else. So, are you a racist? I don't know. I can see the fruit. Because Jesus said, Sermon on the Mount, we can be fruit inspectors. I can hear the words you say. I can see the places you go and all those types of things. And see if that's consistent with love your neighbor as yourself. But when it comes right down to it, you stand before the Lord, and what's in your heart and your mind is accountable to Him. How do you react to a virus? How do you react to those the issues going on in our culture today related to race? How are you going to react the day after the election? I believe there's a bit of tension going on in the country about the upcoming election. Will they see a faithful person? Or will they see somebody who will sacrifice their faith on the altar of fear? These are big issues that we're dealing with in our country today, in our communities. And in every situation, we're demonstrating our faith. In every situation, people are going to look to us and say, how does a Christian respond to that? How does a Christian react? And if the Christian's the one that just gets in line with the masses and blends in and lives by fear, not going to convert anybody. What is your reaction to the gospel? I love the passage in the book of Acts, in chapter 17, when Paul was preaching, where we're presented with all three reactions to the gospel. Acts chapter 17, beginning verse 32. Paul, of course, has preached in Athens. He preached on Mars Hill. He comes to the conclusion of this sermon and says, beginning verse 32 of Acts 17, now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer. But others said, we shall hear you again concerning this. So Paul went out of their midst. But some men joined him and believed, among whom were also Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Three reactions to the gospel. The most important reaction for any person on earth is how they react to the gospel. Is it a yes or is it a no? Here you had sneering. People sneer at the gospel today. Yep. It's a joke. God isn't real. Jesus didn't die for you. They mock and laugh at the whole thing. It says, when Paul preached this, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer. That's impossible. Are you telling a joke? Happens today. Some hesitate, same verse, but others said, we shall hear you again concerning this. Some of that is sincere hesitation in the sense of, I'm moving in your direction, but I'm not there yet of where I need to be to believe what you've just said. But we know also a lot of this hesitation is just talk. It's actually rejection. It's actually, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, so I'll just say, I'm thinking about it. But they're really not. It's just a way to be nice. So you don't really know the heart of somebody when they say something like that, when they hesitate in their answer to the gospel. But some believed. Verse 34. But some men joined him and believed, among whom Dionysius, Damaris, and others. All three possible answers to the gospel right there in Athens after Paul preached that sermon. Same three reactions you hear the gospel today. How do you react to the gospel? You say, well, I'm a Christian. I reacted to the gospel. And then you tell me the day you were baptized. But we react to the gospel every day. There are Christians who reject the teachings of Christ every day. In their families, in how they work, how they deal with their neighbor, they are reading the commands of Christ, the new covenant, hearing the words of the Lord, the Master, and they're saying, no, that's not for me, that's for somebody else. So they're saying no, even though at one point in time they said yes. We have to believe it every day. We have to maintain our faith. We have to be faithful until death, Revelation 2:10. Receive that crown of life. Because every single day, Satan is giving you an option. Say, go the other way. So every single day you have to say no to him and yes to Christ. How do you react to the gospel? It's not a one-time reaction. You have to react every day. Being faithful is simply saying yes to the Lord every day. There's a lot of things to be afraid of in this world. There's fear all around us. And a lot of very faithful people in Scripture were afraid at times. The Apostle Paul was in dungeons. He was shipwrecked. All sorts of horrible things happening. Scary stuff. But he didn't sacrifice his faith on the altar of fear. He kept it. How is your faith? If you've never been baptized into Christ, this is an opportunity this morning for you to do that. To say, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to use caution when I need to be cautious. I'm going to use the brain that God gave me. But I'm not going to be paralyzed. I'm going to act in faith, become a Christian, be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. If you are a Christian, maybe you've said no too many times as a Christian, and you've said yes too many times to Satan. Your faith is weak and you need encouragement this morning, or stronger faith, you want us to pray for you and pray with you, we'd love to do that. Whatever your need is, please come while we stand and sing.